Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I think the inner, that would be, you know, very different from individual to individual where I grew up, regardless of race.
No, I agree. I you know, certainly.
And that's not to say we can't have a race discussion some other day, but yeah. It's going to be a little different format than just you and I from my perspective as well.
Yeah. And I don't think either of us are saying that there was no, you know, black children that grew up in a rural situation in the same experience you did and vice versa.
No, sure.
We're not saying that. We understand what the percentages look like in terms of race in those situations.
And, sure.
But that's, again, yeah, a conversation for another time, hopefully with some other people, preferably of a different race.
Yeah.
Because in case you didn't know, me and Mark are just pretty much your standard white dudes. But, yeah. So back to the gun control thing. Yep. You mentioned early on, you know, in the conversation when I gave you a lot of line, the right?
Mm.
I have the right, the Second Amendment right to bear arms and defend. And I guess my question for that would be, when the Constitution was written, you also had the right to own a human being. Right?
Okay. Yep.
Yep. And of course, over time, we realized the error of those rights and corrected it. And I think every person, minus a small contingency of white supremacists.
Which amendment was that? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. 15th?
Yeah, I was thinking 15th myself. But see, okay, cool. Nice job.
Well,
a little history lesson
right there.
It could
be wrong.
And yeah, then, but I think you're right. Yeah.
Let's go with 15.
Yeah. I think 14 had to do with
alcohol. Please, someone Google this.
I think 14 had to do with alcohol. And I know it's right in that range.
Yeah.
Prohibition, that kind of thing.
Ouch. That hurts.
But keep going.
Alcohol is more important than...
Ooh. I hear where you're coming from. Maybe I'm off there, too. But my kids could correct me. I guarantee it.
Please do. Kids.
Yeah.
Right into the show.
Yes. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Yeah.
Maybe not. But go ahead. Yes.
So yeah, you get where I'm going there. But essentially, there's some stuff in there. Number one, the Constitution didn't cover everything, and then, so we've written lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of laws since that thing was written to continue to augment it. Right.
Sure.
A lot of those laws are good, and a lot of those, arguably, you know, depending on which side of them you fall, you would say they're bad or whatever. The point is, it's not the sole, but it is the basis, right?
Sure.
That's what makes this thing challenging, right? Is that it goes way back, and it is one of the lowest fundamental and foundational aspects to our laws is that Second Amendment, right?
Okay.
So, well, the Constitution, overturning it or challenging it or whatever always gets met with it's our right. It's written in the Constitution. Or is it an amendment? Is it Second Amendment?
It's not an amendment, is it? No.
There's a Bill of Rights. Bill of Rights. Second Bill of Rights. Sorry.
It's not an amendment.
I keep saying amendment, but it's not an amendment. It is core.
Amendments are the part that have been added to change for the sake of individuals. Yes.
My bad.
No, that's all
good. The point is, it's all the way back there in the Bill of Rights. I mean, it is as foundational as any other aspect, and we all love the Constitution in America, right?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
I think this would be the one sticking point where people might not like the Constitution who feel strongly on the other perspective, right?
Sure.
But anyway, you get my point, and I'd love to hear your perspective. Like, why is that a right? I'm not saying it should be or shouldn't be, but why is it so important to if you remove that Bill of Right and just say, just ethically, why is it a right?
I believe you're fine. From my perspective, okay, it was a right, a fundamental right, based on that time. because an individual had the right to protect themselves from government coming in. In other words, there were laws even in place that basically said, you know, the British couldn't just completely take over your house and come in and murder and maim you to have their house. Now, does that say it didn't happen? But no, there was a law in place that protected, and the ability to maintain the militia, the ability to have this protective force, okay, that I believe was very much a turning point in our early American history.
I mean, it's essentially codified as a result of our success.
Sure.
In that, you know,
I'd give you that.
In the revolution, to basically say, hey, the ability for us to band together and defend our rights is what got us here. It got us our independence. Mm-hmm. We have got to codify this because this is a good thing, right?
And it, yeah. From my perspective, yes. And it is possible even in that for government to overstep a bounds and forget to protect the people. And granted, I believe that is still a fundamental. I would say it's part of our American fabric, if you will, because I believe that part of us still exists today. That there is a desire to, let's face it, if we want to talk, you know, how things have changed and maybe things become antiquated, the individual in, I'll just say 1750, you know, couldn't call 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm hearing where you're coming from in that ability. And I'm also willing to recognize that there's still, even with 9/11, I think an individual has that right to maintain arms. And I think that's what would make it very difficult to have a legislation that says, okay, from now on, no American can own any arms whatsoever. I don't think you'd ever see that.
I don't, just for the record, that's not what I'm...
Right.
I guess I'm just really trying to get to the core of why it's a right. Like, why...
And I'm saying that in the sense that I believe it is a tradition isn't the right word, but I believe it's passed down generationally. Yeah. And I think it's what makes America different than other, like, say, I think Australia, you can fact check me on this too. I think Australia had a buyback program.
Okay.
Years ago, and they bought back a bunch of weapons, you know, guns, that kind of thing. I'm not 100% sure that, you know, depending on where you are, you know, rural, inner city, whether there's places you can't own guns, like our Washington, D.C., or places like that. But their buyback, you know, from a media standpoint, was very successful. I believe that part of that difference is how their country was established. You follow me? In that context of there was no, you know, Revolutionary War that was part of that. You know, it was granted as part of a land exchange, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know the full background of the Australian history. But, you know...
It used to be a prison type situation where they would send...
You're right.
English...
You're right.
People, instead of going to prison, they'd send them to Australia.
You're right. I remember that now that you're saying that, you know,
so I don't know
from
how
fifth
it
grade.
Became. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you smarter than that?
But that, so I do think that right has been passed down from generation to generation.
Makes sense.
And I would also say that, you know, early on, a lot, you know, I think we've become very lazy as citizens compared to our forefathers who fought the Revolutionary War. I believe there are moments when government goes a little further that our forefathers would have never stood for.
Right.
You know, the level of taxation, that kind of thing. I'm not saying there aren't benefits to that. I'm not an anarchist, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm willing to recognize that it's interesting, because when the crown, I'll call them, you know, wanted to take away certain rights or add, you know, to the taxation, and there was this pushback, the desire to not allow gunpowder to come to the states was part of an issue. So it's like, guns aren't going to matter if we can't get gunpowder, you know, and the crown, of course, knew that. But, you know, and so it was this process of saying, OK, if these people can't defend themselves, OK, I can do what I want to do. And, you know, and I think, you know, that still there's, you know, I'm not saying our government's looking to take ammunition away from people either, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm still looking at it saying, OK, yeah, if our government today wanted to minimize, you know, influence of individual rights and arms and that thing, gunpowder or ammunition would be a way to do that, you know. And I think that's what, you know, because there's a saying, lead is the poor man's gold, you know, because, you know, gold tends to allow people certain rights, but, you know, the poor man's gold is lead, you know. Yeah. So without ammunition, there isn't that right to protect myself from an overreaching government or, you know, individual
oppressive forces.
Yes, oppressive forces. And I think that's part of our fabric, if you will, that it makes that right important. And here again, from my perspective, I think, you know, a lot of America early on were riflemen. You know, you know, it was a way of life to, you know, provide for my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
so the idea of taking guns away at that point represented so much.
Yes.
Oppression.
Yes.
In so many ways of their life.
And I think that's why it's written that, you know, OK, we can recognize, OK, we've just fought a war. Mm-hmm. Not just fought a war, but as part, you know, we're in this process. We've been through, you know, different wars. We know what guns can do. We know guns can kill people, you know, based on the tradition of, I'm not saying it's a positive, but, you know, war dynamics. We know how to kill people. But at the same time, we recognize that, and we desire for this to be a right for a healthy individual. Doesn't even go that far, but, you know, to maintain the right to bear arms. The right to bear arms. Hmm. Now, does that mean you have to own a gun to be an American? No. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. If they scare you, that's fine. If you don't know, that's fine.
See.
And that's okay.
Yeah, this is great. And I think your answer is kind of got right to the point that I was trying to make, which is it's very, very much built from the tradition of where we came from, mm-hmm. and the right is embedded in our Constitution due to the people who wrote it.
Sure.
Right? Which makes me say we are not that same people at this point.
Uh-huh.
So let me say
those same circumstances are not in place.
Right.
Okay.
Say a few things. The first is that I don't think we should prevent people from having guns completely. That's not the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. However, I think saying that it should be a right is silly. It shouldn't be a right. I think you should have the opportunity.
Hmm.
It, much like there's nothing in the Constitution about your right to drive a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, look how many people are driving vehicles. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Well, so, I'm still trying to think about it from a historical standpoint, but
sure. I'm just saying, I'm not even considering historical. I'm considering right now. Like, there is no right. You won't find a right to drive a vehicle to be able to own and operate a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
It's not written anywhere.
Sure.
Same with computers. Same with any number of, you know, thousands of things that we use on a daily basis. There's no codified right to be able to own and operate that thing. Mm-hmm. It's just uniquely guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the specific culture that that constitution was written in, where they said, this represents freedom. We cannot ever allow freedom to be encroached on again. Mm-hmm. This is a way to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's many, many more things that indicate or represent freedom at this point than guns.
Mm.
Guns are not, I would argue that a gun is not going to maintain your freedom. I think that's a silly, antiquated notion. If the government wanted to come take your property, they could do it. Your one gun or five guns is not going to prevent that. No matter how, you know, how you feel about it, it's just, that's not the world we live in now. If the government really wanted your stuff. Now, one could think about, like, what if a bunch of us got together and we, you know, like, didn't they do that in Oregon or Washington a few years ago, where they, like, hunkered down in a bunker, a bunch of people with guns, and it was, like, this crazy...
You're not thinking of David Koresh in Texas.
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, it was, I want to say, in the last 10 years.
The Keystone Pipeline?
Maybe that was it. Was it?
It was North Dakota, South Dakota, where they were over the land.
Maybe.
There was a land dispute.
Maybe.
And they didn't want going to their territory, that kind
of thing. I guess the point I was trying to make is you get enough of people together with guns, like, you can make a stir, and the government's not going to just throw a bomb in there because that's a PR nightmare or whatever. There's something to that. Again, I'm not trying to say there's zero merit to the idea of being able to own a gun. But again, I just feel like the right thing to me is so silly and antiquated. But I know I'm going to, you know, certain people hear this, they would just be so mad that I'm saying this. And it's like, you know what? That's fine. It just seems silly to me that we have to cling to this idea of a right, but it is because it's in our foundational governmental paperwork. So the right, the word right comes right from there, right? Right?
I'd agree. I'd agree that that's where the foundation comes from, to be able to maintain today that historical right. And go ahead.
I also, to your point about the kind of the culture of how our government was founded and the fabric, use the word fabric, I think that's a good word, has created this kind of independent, you know, mindset that I think is a big reason why the United States of America has been so incredibly successful for, you know, centuries, right?
Sure.
Couple centuries now. It's been up and to the right, you know, up until this point anyway, right? And I think a big part of that probably has to do with the independent spirit that comes as a result of the fabric, right, that was created by our founding fathers, which includes the right to bear arms and protect yourself and not allow any, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry or government to come in and take your stuff. Like, you have the right to defend it because we are independent, fierce people, you know, and I think that I'm not trying to belittle that or even say it. And again, I'm not even trying to say that we should change that. I just think we cling to that, but it's kind of a silly thing to cling to because why? You don't, doesn't make sense you have the right to own a gun any more than it makes sense that you have, you know, that you have the right to drive a car. You have the opportunity. And if you work for that opportunity, you do, you follow the right things, you can have the opportunity, you know?
So is it the right or the opportunity that you, it's the word right that you wrestle with?
Well, I feel like the right, the word right is what becomes the flag in the ground for so many arguments. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you can't do anything because it's our right. And it's like, why? Why is it your right? It should just be an opportunity, and that opportunity should be regulated just like most opportunities that represent a lot of potential harm, which, you know, as what I'm talking about, like what I would like to see, which you already said, has a lot of those things in place. To which point I'm like, well, then you don't have the right, Mark, if you're required to have a license for it, whatever. Like, that's not...
It's interesting. I want to pull on those threads just a moment.
Yeah, it's good. Let's do it. Pull away.
Because I believe the fact that it is a right, I have certain regulations, laws, that therefore protect me in the ability to protect myself. Now, if I step out of those, I no longer maintain that right. But if I'm just talking about an opportunity, then that's not defined. I think the fact that it is in our Constitution, it therefore has certain regulations and laws that protect its usage, or my ability, your ability, our ability to maintain and bear. So therefore, as long as I'm maintaining and bearing, using that right within that legal dynamic, then therefore I'm able to protect and be protected. Where if it's just an opportunity, that sounds more, well, you could be in trouble because of that, as you put it, that flag in the ground, that establishes a boundary more so than just an opportunity. Because me getting in a car, yeah, is an opportunity. Now, if I break the law with that car, there's still certain consequences that go along with that. Mm-hmm. But and I might lose my opportunity based on breaking a law. And I do think, you know, the fact that it's a right, it is foundational. But I like, and here again, it's that follow the rules that go along with it, and there's no issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to minimize, you know, opportunity and right, but it just, from my perspective, those two, can I choose to do some things? Can I choose to speed? Is that an opportunity or is that a right? I have that opportunity.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is we haven't found the need to codify your right to drive because it just seems like a silly thing to codify. You have the right to drive. Of course
right.
you do. Like, no,
right.
you know, I feel like guns is kind of like that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is it's not like I'm just saying, I wonder what would happen. Like, we know what would happen if it wasn't codified as a right because there's many countries
yeah.
that don't have it codified as a right. And we also know that the U.S. numbers in terms of, you know, number of shootings and different things like mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. are pretty astronomical as compared to most other countries, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think we both agree with that. I think we could learn from some of these other countries mm-hmm. to figure out how to do it a little bit differently so that those numbers can maybe be better. But the problem is we have that quote-unquote boundary that doesn't mm-hmm. allow us to move very far in that mm-hmm. direction. Right? Because it becomes a flag in the ground to mm. where we can't even get common sense laws like you don't need an AR-15. Mm. Maybe if you've owned a gun for 50 years, you've had the license. Like, let's...
Grandfathered.
Sure. Oh, I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. Maybe if you have a reason to prove that it is acceptable for you to own it mm-hmm. because you have a track record, you're the game warden, whatever... I don't know what that is, but to me, I'd love to see some common sense laws around guns like that because it's like nobody needs that, mm. right?
Need is an interesting word.
Yeah, you don't need it till you do, I guess. When you're defending your
yeah
yeah, I don't know
yeah
yeah yeah, but I guess the my point is because it is codified in our Constitution. Uh-huh. That is why our laws can only go so far.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
In other words, we can't take away the right because it's codified in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I think, is unfortunate.
Mm.
To me.
Yeah.
As I see it.
Yeah.
Because I think we could have the same opportunities for the gun culture that you grew up in without having it be a quote-unquote a right. Like... In the same way that cars...
But could you?
I believe that it's possible.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it isn't possible, but I'm of that mind, of my perspective that says, okay, where do you draw that line? Now, I understand your argument for, you know, AR platforms and AKs and those kind of things, you know, that we align with, you know, mass shootings, that kind of thing. I'm going to go a little further, if I may.
Yeah, please do.
And say, okay, that is a rifle. Okay. That's not to say that a shotgun can't have 5-6 rounds put in it for hunting. Okay. Now, I'm here again. I'm arguing a point. But if a person doesn't understand, well, what's the purpose? Okay. Then there's a point where, well, let's just outlaw all guns, because shotguns and rifles, you know, projectile is a rifle, shotgun shoots shot, you know, that kind of thing, handguns, you know. But if it's about limiting, where does that limiting line be drawn? And my concern is that it's like, okay, there is a point where, yeah, we can establish a line that, you know, you have to have, and there again, you know, you have to have permitting to have some of these platforms, you know, so it's not that people can't necessarily know, but it's a quite often illegal use type thing, you know, that we're running into. But I think about that and say, okay, where does that line get drawn in protecting a person's right to have a shotgun? Are we going to outlaw? Because certain shotguns can be high volume, you know, carry a number of rounds. Does that mean that all of them should be eliminated? You know, because certain rifles, are we going to eliminate hunting rifles? That kind of thing. And that's where, from my perspective, I'm glad it is a right. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the ability to recognize that, yes, permitting is in place for individuals, you know, of, you know, and there are certain weapons that, you know, individuals can't own, you know, from a, you know,
so there,
a militant.
There is a line, is what you just said. There is a line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yet, I'm guessing, well, I don't want to pretend to understand that whole side of things. But again, going back to vehicles, like, you can't own probably vehicles that can shoot projectiles. That's probably not
allowed. But you should, let's put it this way, if I may.
No, go ahead.
You have the ability to purchase any car you desire within your financial means. Now, should a government say that you have to purchase an electric car because you're using too many fossil fuels in your Lamborghini? You follow me? Is that the, because the government should be able to tell you that you can't purchase a vehicle that consumes too much fuel or goes too fast. Is that the government's right?
Well,
I'm asking. I'm not arguing. You understand?
I'm having a hard time making the connection.
And that's where I'm at with guns to automobiles.
Okay, so you follow me? Let me finish that, though.
Okay.
Like, in order to be able to operate a semi or a bus, you have to get additional licenses or whatever.
Yep.
And this is an assumption. I don't really know this, but I don't think they just give it to you if you've never had a license ever.
Well, you know,
I think you probably have to have achieved the normal license and probably have to have had some history of driving to be able to get to that next level. And so that's another thing that bothers me about, like, some of those things, like the AR-15.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can just go get it and it doesn't, in some states.
Okay.
So this is another hang-up I have, is that I wish it was more uniform so that everyone knew what the laws were in a better way.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a broader topic than gun control. You know, I'd be for a national permit that allowed, I have no problem to where then I don't have to concern myself, well, you know, can I be in this state? Mm-hmm. Can I not be in this state? Yeah. You know, as a gun owner, I have to be informed what those state laws are.
Yeah.
When I cross with a car, I can just cross that boundary. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting, and I'm gonna follow. And just for clarification, for the audience. I want them to know that we are smiling at each other at times in this conversation. Yes.
We're not angry. No,
nobody's angry.
And this is a great subject because we don't get very many of these where we kind of have a polarized perspective. So,
and I want to recognize you did bypass my question.
Which one?
About should the government be able to tell you what car? You went to, you know, a license for a semi and a bus. I'm okay with that. Yes, if somebody is purchasing a higher and higher level of mass production, the ability to harm people in a greater and greater way, yes, I believe there can be more, you know, regulation that says, okay, are you capable from a mental health, physical standpoint to purchase or own such a vehicle or weapon. I'm okay with that. And yet my perspective comes back to the question to you, should you be able to own whatever car you want, regardless of its gas consumption or its ability to drive fast? Do you believe that the government should be able to control that?
I believe that the government can do whatever the laws write them to be able to do. Like, that's the government that we have established, is that it's a, you know, it's intentionally built to have checks and balances, which, you know, one can argue whether they're working well or not. But the point is, yeah, if they write a law that says that, they have
I'm saying right now.
You're saying, does the government have a right to make a law? Yes, they have rights to make a law. That's what the government does.
But
do I agree with the law?
Yes, how do you feel about that? About the government's ability to say, no, you can't have that car because, number one, it uses too much fuel or goes too fast.
How do I feel personally about that? Oh, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a similar line because I don't believe, you know, from my perspective, and I believe it's a citizens maintained, American citizens maintain that ability because I believe as a culture may change, yes, there could that right could be amended someday. From a cultural standpoint. And yet at that point, I believe, you know, the individual is only reliant upon the government. And I don't necessarily see that as being healthy.
Yeah. I mean, this is just such a strong statement that if I allow the government to regulate guns, I'm only reliant on the government. Where I would say, I think you're already, you know, close to that in, you know, so many aspects of life. I don't think...
Am I reliant?
I don't think owning a gun changes that. I think that's a strong opinion to say, as soon as I own a gun, I'm no longer reliant on the government. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I'm also willing to say, in our current culture, okay, if for some reason, okay, there was a desire for your personal vehicle, that wasn't allowed to be driven.
Okay.
Would that impact your ability to provide for yourself? And
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference is, and here again, I'm not an anarchist. I'm not. What are the people that gloom? Where you're looking conspiracy? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, in any shape or form from my perspective. But yeah, I'm also looking at this saying, okay, I think there is an advantage to this right to protect, to bear, and, you know, have the right to maintain arms from that perspective. And I don't see it as being beneficial for the government to say, you know, that's not right. And I respect, here's the other part of it, I'm not saying government's just going to choose to do that. And yet I'm also recognizing that as fear can run both sides, okay, if we're looking to just minimize fear, then I'm not sure we're doing what is beneficial, because we're not going to necessarily always be able to minimize fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of where I come back to, we cannot legislate morality.
Yep. Yeah. I guess going back to the word right again, mm-hmm. it's not that I think there should be drastic changes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I hear again, where you're coming from.
I feel like the word right is a little bit antiquated when it mm-hmm. comes to guns. Because, and again, when you hear that, you mm-hmm. hear, well, then they're going to say I can't own a gun or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, there's a couple things I think about when I think about that. Number one, it's, again, going back to vehicles or any computers, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, the government could at any point say that kind of computer is now illegal. You can no longer own Apple computers. Mm-hmm. That could happen. I don't know how we would get there, but it could. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, like, we are representative-based government, which means mm-hmm. they're trying to do what will get them re-voted in. So if we banned Apple computers, they probably wouldn't get them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how it's meant to work and should work. And I think mm-hmm. it should work the same with guns and government saying you can or can't drive that vehicle or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how the government is supposed to work and has done a decent job. But at the same time, government is getting bigger and bigger. And so there's, mm-hmm. you know, I understand that perspective too. But to me, the word right is just so, again, silly and antiquated, where I think it could fall right in line with any other thing that's regulated and given opportunities, you know, to own or whatever, in the same way that it already is. Because again, my point is, just any person doesn't have the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. You can't just go find a gun and own it. You have to have it regulated, right? You have to have a permit in most states, whatever. I would argue that we're already in the same position as like a vehicle or whatever, and yet we haven't codified that you have the right to drive a vehicle, but you do, right? Mm-hmm. Just like I have the right to own any kind of computer until a law comes into effect. I guess that's my whole point, is I think it's harder to kind of make, I feel like a lot of vehicular laws are pretty good common sense laws. Like, I feel like we've done a decent job with that. We don't have very many arguments about what laws are good and bad when it comes to vehicles. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it wasn't for that right word in the Bill of Rights, we maybe could have ended up in a similar place with guns. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of countries have. Mm-hmm. Ended up in a similar place with guns, where it's just not a dramatic thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like driving a vehicle. Like, of course, you got to get it, you know, regulated. You have to have a permit. You have to mm-hmm. go through this process. We don't allow, you know, these people with a prior history to own, you know, mm-hmm. a gun or whatever. You know, it's just like, it's so angsty because of the word right and being in the Bill of Rights and that. And again, we can't undo that. I'm not mm-hmm. even saying undo it. I'm just saying that becomes the flag that makes it really difficult to have more opportunities for common sense things, or even for just the government to do what it does transparently and just come up with the laws, and we go, of course that makes sense. It's like, wait, did you say something about guns? No! You know what I mean? It's like it becomes this huge political opportunity, mm-hmm. media opportunity, right? Because of the word right in the Bill of Rights. And that just bugs me. But we can't undo that. I know that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even advocating. Well, I might be saying I wouldn't be opposed to a world where we said this other amendment says that one was built on this particular culture and our culture now looks like this. So this amendment says this right looks like this. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A modified version of it.
And I'm just, like you say, I think it's interesting whenever I hear the word antiquated.
Mm. Chesterton's fence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me, go ahead.
Yeah. And because I'm going to, yeah, I think a lot of my views are probably antiquated.
That's right. It's because you're an antique, Mark.
I am. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of being an antique.
Antiques are cool.
Well, I'm not saying I'm always cool, but Justin's okay.
Sorry, I need to get some water. This is a lengthy, windy discussion.
I would propose that in that process of common sense, unfortunately, common sense isn't so common anymore.
Yeah.
And I would dare say, based on an awareness of what laws are in place, there's already many that you might describe regulations in place. Like, I could go somewhere and I know I'm not allowed to scrape the serial number off of a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Does it happen?
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that seems to break down in the discussion. It's like the difference between our ability to legislate morality.
Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of legislating morality. And my whole point about the right thing, it's kind of a moot point because, again, we're not going backwards on that. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a modified amendment that said this right has parameters, you know, that are fit our modern culture. Mm. The other thing I was going to say about the antiquated nature of it and Chesterton's fence and why was that fence put up? Well, we discussed why it was put up, right? It was because at that point when our government was created, that theory worked. Mm-hmm. It proved itself.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say now, in today's culture, the government would be better off preventing internet access to you. So you can hole up all you want, but you're not going to be able to call your buddies. You're not going to be, you know, they can do that right now. They could figure it out if you were a threat. There are ways they can prevent you from doing what the revolutionary founders were able to do against the English. There are ways they can prevent that way more effective than keeping you from having a gun. And so that's where that the right thing becomes antiquated, because it doesn't provide us the same opportunity as it did at the point when it was built. You know what I'm saying?
I hear where you're coming from. Yeah.
Your thoughts.
We're going to eventually have to.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's where I'm at, to where I'm willing to.
Mark has to go pretty soon. So he's trying to figure out how to get out of this.
I'm thinking about it in that context that basically says, okay. Yeah, I just lost my train of thought, I'll be honest with you.
I'm sorry.
in that dynamic, because you were bringing it back to our government has the ability to limit people
in ways that are more effective than preventing them from owning a gun.
So if you want to take my internet access, feel free.
Yeah.
That's how I would look at that. If you're asking me that question.
I know, but you're thinking from a perspective of what you have access to. I'm thinking of perspective of why that law was put in place, which was to be able to provide an opportunity for a revolution against an oppressive government. And I'm saying, against your point, it doesn't matter that you don't care about the internet.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to start a revolution today because you felt the government was oppressing you, there are ways they can prevent you from doing that that don't involve taking your guns.
And I'm thinking about it in so many ways. That's my yeah. issue. I mean, because what you're talking about is the government's ability. From my perspective, you're taking away the government. If the government can take away our ability to communicate, then you can't have a revolution.
Well, that's just one.
But that's
example.
And that's where I'm going from.
They can also cut the roads down. They can roadblock. Right. They can.
And I get that.
Right.
But that's where
they
I'm.
They can drop a bomb. Like,
yeah, and that's where we're crossing a line. Because I think that's what makes rights fundamental, is that a government should be kept from crossing those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So is that to say that, you know, communication isn't monitored? No. You know, but are you going to be able to, from my perspective, okay, much of our communication monitoring is an aspect of terrorism, counterterrorism. Okay. Has it stopped a lot? I'm sure it has. And yet, does terrorism still happen? You follow me? So is there the ability to, you know, cut off in other ways? Sure. But our free will or our desire is our human instinct is going to find ways around that. You follow me?
Yeah,
I do. And I think that's beneficial, and it's not beneficial. So we can find ways around laws, or we can follow them, and as citizens, we have the right to be able to vote people in who align with us in such a align with our political views in so many ways that promotes a healthier society. Now, is that to say there won't be individuals that want to bypass, or, you know, and is it the government's ability to completely protect me? I don't see it that way. And I think therein lies a continuum, if you will, between the ability to be autonomous or independent or interdependent or, you know, those kind of things. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about at that point from a philosophical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of, you know, broken away from the gun control part. Not that I'm not willing to have that discussion.
But I mean, that's what I was going to say about this conversation is it's kind of, it leads into so many other conversations.
Exactly.
And I think that's the problem with talking points is it doesn't provide opportunity for those other conversations where I think.
And here again, I don't want us to break down to talking points. I want you to know that I've appreciated our ability to have this discussion.
I get to know you in a way that
I value and appreciate. So, yes, thank you for sharing how you see it.
You're welcome, Mark. And thank you as well.
My pleasure.
You're going to have to take me shooting.
I'd love to.
All right.
I'd love to.
All right. I'll hold you to it.
Yeah, put it on the calendar. Let's do it.
Well,
that's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.